Goldcorp is a large Vancouver-based mining company. Many of its mines are based in Central America, where it faces widespread opposition in the communities that are affected by its activities. Kristen Genovese is an attorney with the Center for Environmental Law in Geneva, and for the last 2 years, she's been working with communities affected by Goldcorp's mines. Her primary focus has been the Marlin mine in San Miguel de Ixhuatacan, Guatemala, and this week she joined several Central American activists to attend Goldcorp's annual shareholder meeting in Toronto. She joins me now on the phone from Washington, D.C. Hi, Kristen, and welcome to Vancouver Cooperative Radio.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Your focus has been working with communities affected by Goldcorp's Marlin mine in Guatemala. What kind of impacts has this project had on the people? Environment?
Sure. There are a lot of different impacts that the communities that we work with are concerned about. Primarily, they're concerned that they did not give their consent for the mine to be operating on their territory. The right to free, prior, and informed consent is protected under many international laws, including the recently approved UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, which was adopted in 2007. And the American Convention on Human Rights under the Inter-American System. So they're very concerned. They did not give their consent to the mine before it started operating in 2005. Beyond that, they're beginning to see health impacts, skin rashes, and different health impacts that they believe is due to contamination of the water from the mine. There are over 120 homes around the mine that have sustained serious structural damage, big cracks, which they believe is caused from the blasting at the mine and the use of heavy equipment. And then, of course, the mine has created serious social division within the community. There's a lot of conflict among community members, even within families, as a result of the mine being in the community.
You mentioned the informed consent and being part of the UN Declaration on Indigenous Rights. And Canada, you probably know, is one of the only four countries that refused to endorse that international agreement in the United Nations.
We've recently heard that they had decided to reconsider their position. And New Zealand, which is one of the other countries that voted against the declaration, has reversed its position. And the United States, one of the other countries, just recently announced at the UN Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues that it will reconsider its position on the declaration. So I think these last four holdouts might be moving.
Well, that's good news. Mm-hmm. What kinds of responses are you seeing in Guatemala itself among the communities and people there in relation to the mining projects?
There's been a big movement in Guatemala among indigenous communities and other communities affected by mining. There have been 42 municipalities in Guatemala that have held popular referendum on mining, and all of them have voted against mining. There was just recently, on Earth Day this year, April 22nd, there was a huge protest in Guatemala, both in the capital city of Guatemala City, as well as in other parts of the country, to protest mining activities. There was the march in Guatemala City. There were 10,000 people that marched to the Canadian embassy and asked that Canada stop supporting Canadian mining companies operating in Guatemala, including Goldcorp. Asked the Canadian government to stop their financial, diplomatic support of mining companies in Guatemala.
And is there any difference in the government of Guatemala? Has it taken any stands on this issue?
They've certainly come under very intense scrutiny, and actually we just found out yesterday that the Inter-American Commission on Human Rights has requested that the government of Guatemala suspend all operations at the Moralin mine until such time as the commission can determine whether or not human rights have been violated there. So that's a really significant step for the commission to take. And we've also had similar statements from the International Labor Organization, which called on Guatemala to suspend operations at the Moralin mine, as well as the UN Committee on the Elimination of Racial Discrimination. So the government has come under really intense heat. And there was another, this week has been quite active. So on Tuesday, a group called Physicians for Human Rights, together with scientists from the University of Michigan, released a report finding that in members of the community living close to the mine, there were high levels of mercury, copper, arsenic, and zinc in their urine and lead in their blood. And so in response to that, the government of Guatemala has announced that it will go to the community, to San Miguel, and to verify those findings, conduct a full investigation. And then in response to the call from the Inter-American Commission on Human Rights, they've said that they will look into the concerns of the communities. They have not said whether or not they will suspend mining at the Moralin mine.
You mentioned these calls for human rights investigations, and I understand that Goldcorp itself released a human rights report. That's Goldcorp reporting on its own practices. What can you tell us about that report?
Yeah, so this report was commissioned in 2008. It was at the request of a few socially responsible investors who asked the company to undertake it. It's important to mention that the communities did not participate in the decision to undertake this human rights impact assessment. They weren't involved in the design of the assessment, and finally took the decision that they would not participate. And that's actually recognized in the human rights impact assessment. So this wasn't an impact assessment that was supported by the communities. And I have some concerns about the methodologies that that were used. But even given all of that, what the assessment found was systemic human rights violations at the Moralin mine. They found that the consultation with the communities was not adequate. They found that there were labor rights violations, including to the right to freedom of association and for collective bargaining. They found a culture of intimidation among the employees there. They found concerns about the social conflict and violence in the area. One of their strongest recommendations was that the company halt all land acquisition, exploration activities, and mine expansion projects until the government had undertaken consultation with the communities.
And did Goldcorp respond at all in terms of change of practice with regards to those findings?
Not as of yet. At their shareholders meeting on Wednesday morning, the CEO of Goldcorp, Charles Jeunesse, really glossed over the human rights impact assessment. He said that he hadn't even read it yet. And what he said was that they thought that their consultations up to this point were adequate and that they would, continue to improve, which is at odds with the findings of the impact assessment, which said the consultations were actually not adequate. So I think Goldcorp really needs to be held to account.
You mentioned the shareholders meeting, and you were in Toronto specifically for that. Did you come with other people?
Yes, that's right. I was there to support representatives from communities affected by Goldcorp's mines throughout Latin America. So we had representatives there from the Moralin mine in Guatemala, another Goldcorp mine in Guatemala called Cerro Blanco, which is right on the border of Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador. So there was a representative from the Guatemalan side and the El Salvadoran side. There was a representative from Goldcorp's mine in Honduras, the San Martin mine, as well as the legal advisor to an indigenous community in Chile that's affected by the El Morro mine in Chile.
And what were your objectives? What did you want to achieve by being present at that meeting?
I think there were a few objectives. One is to just raise awareness among the shareholders about the impacts of Goldcorp's mines throughout the world. And the second objective was we were working with colleagues in Canada and the United States, including Breaking the Silence Network, Mining Watch Canada, NISGUA, which is a solidarity organization based in the United States, to submit a shareholders resolution that called on Goldcorp to create a policy on the right to free, prior, and informed consent, which would prohibit the company from operating in territories where they did not have the consent of the community. Unfortunately, that resolution was voted down at the meeting. But we take some consolation in the fact that 49 million shares voted in favor of the resolution, even though Goldcorp, in its circular to its shareholders, recommended that it be voted against. And so that's 10% of the shares, which I think is in these sorts of actions, the resolution, shareholders' resolutions, pretty significant.
I also understand that community groups have recently raised official complaints against Goldcorp with the Canadian government. Tell us about that, please.
Yeah, that's right. Representatives from the Marlin Mine came to Ottawa in last December to present a petition or a complaint to what's called the National Contact Point of Canada. That's an office that is set up under the OECD guidelines for multinational enterprises. Those guidelines require that companies headquartered in OECD member countries follow a series of social and environmental guidelines in their operations abroad. If communities believe that the companies are violating those guidelines, then they can present a complaint to what's called a national contact point in the country where the company is headquartered, so in this case, Canada. The national contact point in Canada is composed of seven different departments, agencies, and what the national contact point does is two things. It can offer to facilitate dialogue between the company and the affected community, and then it can conduct a factual investigation to determine whether or not the guidelines have been violated and issue a final statement with recommendations for how the company can come into compliance with the guidelines. In this case, the communities were very clear that they were not interested in a dialogue with the company because the conditions for a productive dialogue are not present. There is really very profound distress between the community and the company because of the last 5 years and the social conflict and all of the issues that they've had to deal with. And the fact that the company has never once recognized that the community's concerns had any validity. So the communities were very clear they didn't want dialogue with the company, and they reiterated that to the national contact point in December. Nonetheless, about a month and a half ago, the national contact point, when it responded to the complaint, it determined that the case warranted further examination. And it offered to facilitate a meeting between the company and the community, which the communities again declined, and asked the national contact point to come to Guatemala to undertake a site visit and to do a full investigation and issue a robust final report with recommendations. So we're still waiting to hear from the national contact point on that.
And what kind of actions could people listening in the program take that would help the communities affected by mining and violations of human rights?
Well, I think one action that they could take is to call their members of parliament. As you and your listeners might be aware, there's a bill that's under consideration in parliament called Bill C-300, which would require extractive industry based in Canada to comply with certain human rights obligations in their operations abroad. And as you can imagine, there's been really intense lobbying against this bill by the mining industry. And so if you could call your members of parliament to support the bill, it's something that the communities in Guatemala have expressed would be very helpful in their cause. And then, of course, I would ask also that people look into their investments. The Canadian Pension Plan is invested in Goldcorp, as well as other sort of large institutional investors. So to look at your investments to see where your money is going and what kind of companies it's supporting.
Well, thank you very much for joining us, and best of luck also for the work and the Guatemalan people's efforts to hold Canadian mining companies to abide both by law and human rights.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Kristen Genovese. She's a senior attorney for the Center for Environmental Law in Geneva. She's been working with communities affected by Goldcorp's Marlin mine in San Miguel, Guatemala, for the last 2 years.